And if I have any faults, he's not going to approve of me. That's a terrifying thought. But that is why Christ laid his life down, so that sinful men could be made the righteousness of God. You know, he hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him, or in him. We obtain the righteousness which is of God through faith in Christ. And also the resurrection, which is the ultimate, you know, sort of fix for us. It'll change even our bodies, our corruptible bodies. I want to have my nature changed. Even while I'm in this body, you know, God can still change me. But the ultimate expression of that change is going to be in the resurrection. But with the day of resurrection, I don't want to be the first day I'm any different. I don't want to live with the same sins over and over and over again in this life, never making any ground, never, you know, this is not the gospel that I read about in the scriptures. I see a lot of optimism. I see a lot of expectation in the gospels of perfection. It says, hey, you know, it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, Paul, that sounds incredibly difficult. How can I do that? I have no idea how to do that. Yeah, neither do I. But that's what the promises are about. Having therefore, this is 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises. What promises? The promise he had specifically mentioned was, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord of God, God Almighty. That's in the previous chapter, 2 Corinthians 6. And that's basically what John says in 1 John 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we're going to be like him. That is the promise. He's going to make us like him. I labor and travail till Christ be formed in you, that you may all grow up into him. I'm bringing several things together there. Those are all very scriptural ideas. Christ is to be formed in us. And then at the end, he will change our vile bodies to be like unto his glorious body. That's what the scriptures teach. So, that's what we need to believe. So that's how we become without fault before the throne of God. By his work, according to the promises. And seeing that we have those promises, hey, let's cleanse ourselves. It's possible. We cleanse ourselves via the cleanser, which is the God. The promises of God are what will enable us to be cleansed, because he can deliver us. Unto you first, God has sent his Son to bless you, and turning you every one away from his iniquities. You know, Acts 3, the last verse. Christ has come to turn us from our sins and iniquities. And by that, that's how we're going to be able to stand on Mount Zion with him. And stand before the throne of God, faultless. You know, there's no other way as a Christian you can come. If you don't come before his throne faultless, your Christianity was a delusion. I can't say it failed, because God's salvation does not fail. What happens is some people, whom God has not chosen, yet they hear the word and endure for a little while. As the parable said, the sower went out to sow, and he sowed seed. And what happened? Some fell on stony ground, and they sprang up for a little while, but withered away when the sun came out. Tribulation and persecution removed them from the faith. And some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it away. You know, some of the word goes out, and then comes big know-it-alls from religion or whatever, or, you know, Satan, professors from science, falsely so-called, or whatever. They come in, and there are authorities in the earth and men who are intelligent in a wicked way, who will steal away the truth, and so they don't receive it. They bear no fruit. And there are others who, as it says, are sown among thorns, and then the cares of this world come up and choke out that which was sown in their hearts. Actually, I think the stony ground says they immediately receive it with joy. They receive the word. Did you receive Jesus? Repeat after me. Lord, I accept you in my heart as my personal Savior, putting my full trust in you for my salvation. Well, now you're saved forever after. You never have to worry about, you know, they set people up. They really help them. Now, does it work that way with everybody? Does everybody who repeats the sinner's prayer end up losing, you know, losing out on what they seem to have? No, of course not. But for many people, you know, those people who serve them do not serve them well. Here's the thing, though God allows all this, and though it is, you know, all written in His Word that it would be so, He still is going to hold them accountable for it, because that's what they do. So they seem to be believers sometimes. There are many people who seem to be part of the faith, and I can't judge it. It's like the parable of the tares, you know, the tares and the wheat grow together, and you really can't tell the difference till the time of harvest, till the end. In this life, we're all sinners, and you could easily mistake someone who's going to be saved for someone who's not. If you start to judge people before the harvest, and you could accidentally pluck up the wheat with the tares, because, you know, there's a bunch of people out drinking and having a good time and being rowdy and ungodly and whatever, blasphemous. And you think, well, if ever there were people that are not going to be saved, well, there they are, you know. But then among them is one guy, and you don't know it, but 20 years from now, things are going to change. You know, that's the mercy and patience of God, the long-suffering of God. He bore along with me when I was a sinner, and He bears with me even now. He must be, because if He isn't bearing with me, then I'm just done, right? But I still have breath. It says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. We should never take sin lightly. But we should also remember that God, the long-suffering of God, is what brings us all to repentance. And so we deal with each other in love and so on and so forth. It's very simple and plain. But we don't want to encourage people. We want to encourage them to seek the living God. We don't want to encourage them to sin. We want to encourage them to go on in the faith, to continue in the faith, to add to their faith. I don't want to tell people faith plus nothing equals salvation. Faith alone. Well, James, the only time I ever read about faith alone in the Bible is to say faith without works is dead. Faith alone, by, you know, man is saved not by faith alone. That's what it says in the Bible, that faith alone is no good. And faith only? No. Can't be. And the reason is because true faith is never alone. It always has stuff that comes with it. You never have faith alone. There's no such thing as faith alone, because faith in Christ dictates that we do things. But even in their gospel, and I've mentioned this, you know, they basically tell you, how do you get saved? How can you be sure of your salvation? Well, did you do this? Did you do that?